Welcome to the Craig and Greg Show, presented by Maximize Leadership. Now, here are Craig Owens and Greg Harris.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Craig and Greg Show. I'm Craig, alongside Greg. We are approaching one of my favorite seasons of the year, Christmas. And I think, you know, Greg, as I was thinking about Christmas, I think more so with Christmas than probably any other holiday, there are traditions that get passed down sometimes like multiple generations. We're like, well, this is the way that we always do it, always do it, always do it. And I don't really kind of catch that with a lot of other, you know, holidays where families would say, yeah, this is how, you know, great grandpa did it, and mm-hmm. and we're still doing it kind of thing. So that's kind of fun. I think that that adds one of the reasons why it makes it my favorite holiday is just because of all of those traditions.
Well, I think whether it's leadership in an organization, the culture of a family unit, maybe a smaller group, yep. is also what they're looking for. So a culture of a family is as important as yes. a culture of an organization.
Well, and it does, I think Christmas too, that's the other thing, is in an organization, in a business, Christmas is probably the time that it feels more family-like True. Than any other times True. Because, you know, you're doing like gift exchanges and a party and that sort of thing. And so there's that camaraderie that you really don't have at other times.
I just told everybody, here's my want list for Christmas, but I don't want fruitcake.
I know you, well, you sent me your Christmas list right here, and I kept scrolling. I couldn't get to the bottom of the list. That's awful.
It's a scroll. That's why that's not a piece of paper. It's a scroll.
Hear ye, this is what I want for Christmas.
Proclamation.
Yes.
I think as leaders, you know, we also hope as organizations, we would have some traditions like family, you know, like grandpa did this or sure. we've always done this. You know, when, you know, Mr. Smith started the company, you know, the 3 decades ago, you know, right. I think we need to hold fast to some of those because yeah. many folks coming into our organizations maybe don't have great traditions.
Yeah.
Some may not.
Right. And that's a good place to kind of make them feel very welcomed into yeah. the family.
Right.
Like, hey, this is part of the tradition. Because, you know, I was just talking to somebody this morning, a lot of the culture in organizations is unwritten. It's not in a book somewhere.
True.
And so it's just kind of like you as a new person coming in, you kind of have to just like watch. All right. So I saw her do that. And then I saw him do that. That must be how they do things around here. But at Christmas, it's almost like somebody would come alongside to say, all right, we're going to do a Secret Santa. This is how we do that. And or watch for this guy. He's going to dress up like Santa Claus on this day. And he's going to do, you know, they'll point the things out to you. So that's a good time to kind of bring somebody in.
Traditions also kind of give people some roots. Mm-hmm. You know, we're a little nomadic, you know, maybe a couple decades or generations ago, you know, kids would go to college maybe or jump into their dad's or mom's work and they didn't go very far.
Right.
Now they could be in San Diego or Saskatchewan. I mean, it's way different. And I think when people come to an organization, it's important to have some traditions. What one did you like as a kid growing up? We'll go more family and see if we get some ideas here.
Well, probably one of my favorite ones was the Christmas stockings. Huh. Starting with my grandpa on my mom's side, he had like literally his stepdad was an alcoholic and would drink away all of the money that the family had. Mm-hmm. And so would put coal into the stockings. He couldn't afford to buy Christmas gifts because of his alcoholism, but then he would put it on the kids. Well, you've been naughty this year, and so Santa just brought you coal. So for my grandpa to reverse that, the Christmas stockings were like a big deal to him.
Because there weren't coal in them.
Right. Yeah. And so he would, you know, he'd find all these little things, and then Christmas Eve night after everybody went to bed, then he'd get up and he'd fill up the stockings. And a lot of this, I mean, there'd be little toys and stuff in there. A lot of it was just like nuts and candies and, you know, yeah. just, it wasn't a huge expense, but it was just there it was. And so we've carried on the same tradition in our family. So we probably, my wife and I probably spend as much time throughout the year saying, oh, that would be a great thing to put in so-and-so's stocking. And, you know, and then that's kind of, we really look forward to doing that in our house.
As leaders in our organization, I wonder if that really would be the message. So you don't get the stocking stuffers in November. You're constantly thinking of your team
right.
all year.
Yeah.
Like you just shared, you and Betsy are doing the stocking stuffing searching
right.
for 11 months up to
absolutely.
December.
Yep.
And maybe that's for our first wake-up call, is the traditions and the special gestures and the generosity
sure.
of traditions, particularly during Christmas. It doesn't happen, oh, let's hurry up and get this. I had one boss early on in my career who you could tell didn't spend any time on us. Because you're like, so I got that last year, but maybe he bought too many and gave them out this year.
Right.
It's like he didn't think about it, you know. Right. But what you and Betsy do is like, okay, so what? Oh, I think he'd like this. She would love this.
Yeah.
It's so fun. What about generosity with the traditions? It's not in our notes and pre.
No, but you know, I think that the thing that people forget about generosity is it's not really like, all right, here's this huge, massive thing. It's right. the fact that I thought of something meaningful for you.
Yeah.
You know, not just like, well, couldn't figure out what you wanted, so I just got you a Visa gift card. So you can go spend the money wherever you want. Well, that's fine. It has its place. But but when you are really like thinking through, like, I know that they have this hobby
yeah.
at home, or I know that they like to travel to this place, or and then you find a gift that's really meaningful, because people know it when they open it up and they go, you know me, you know, you've been paying
Craig,
attention.
That's really good.
You know, it doesn't have to be like, what's the price tag on this? Ooh, you spent that much money. That's
right.
that's not what it has to be. It just has to connect.
One of my pet peeves on the gift exchange is, so do you think he paid $40 for that? Because I bought the gift and it was $62.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, is that really the tradition
right.
or
yeah.
the mindset, you know, of a good holiday season?
Right.
But, oh, yeah, yeah.
Hey, so what about you? What about family traditions that you like?
I think making cookies for Christmas was a big one. It rotated, you know, like maybe my grandma wanted it or my aunt wanted it or my mom would take it, and it kind of rotated. It usually was the house that was the messiest when you're done, so I think
sure.
that's why they rotated.
Right. Frosting all over the walls.
Well, and, just, yeah. you know, as kids, you're like, well, you should just test the frosting. So we tested a lot. It
sure.
was the cookies were well tested. That was always fun because it took hours. You know, when you had different decorations,
yep.
different flavors, different colors, and different stamps, you know, of the types of cookies. Those are fun. They didn't last long. That's quite, I'm going to admit that right now. They didn't last that long. So we didn't make enough, apparently. So that's what I said. Then each year, we need to make more. And you know, my parents like, no, you ate 52.
You're going to eat more.
You ate 52. You can't do that. Yeah.
So are you still making, do you still do cookies now?
Yeah, we do. Yeah. And really, a lot of it is, okay, you make the cookies you want. So that's instead of like giving them to people, because people can buy pre-made cookies anywhere. I mean, you can go to any bakery. So now it's just more for what would you like to have at the party? So someone might want cinnamon. So they do cinnamon on their 10 cookies or whatever, and that's good.
Yeah, yeah.
We actually invited some neighbors over a year or so ago because they didn't have a cookie tradition. And another one that really probably would be fun is the going around the neighborhoods and seeing the lights.
Yeah.
You know, maybe some do it. Some neighborhoods, like they sell out to
yeah.
do it, you know, and that's quite fun. I'm waiting for the Chevy Chase movie to show up.
And yeah, where they're totally trying to outdo. Yeah.
And the electric bill just goes yeah. through the roof.
And they put, plug that thing in.
Oh my goodness. I think there's something maybe for us leaders regarding the comfort of traditions.
Yeah.
You know, change. Maybe that's something reason why the holiday is special, because we don't wish to change the tradition.
Right.
Whereas life is changing at Mach speed
yep.
now.
Yep.
You know? And maybe that we protect the holiday or special times with staff or family.
Yeah. You know? I like that. I like the idea of protecting. But I think that the other thing too about Christmas traditions is you can also adapt them as time
right.
goes on. You know, you can say, all right, you know, this just isn't feasible anymore, or this doesn't seem to connect in people's schedules, or, you know, let's move on to do,
yeah.
you know, do it this way now. And that's fine. And you can yeah. still maintain, you know, the intent of the tradition
mm-hmm.
and even as you modify it, as you go on, and still keep that connection year after year. And I think that you do feel connected to all the people that came before you.
Exactly. you know, even how you decorate, like my grandma on my dad's side, she knew which ornaments were from which grandparents of hers and then parents of hers. And then she would label them, you know, like for us. So my sister and I got X amount of ornaments from, like, we're talking vintage, you know, like we didn't really know the value, but you're like, whoo, that is, that's 80 years old.
Yeah.
Wow. And you do take care of them a little different.
Yep.
You know, versus something you buy at a local store.
Well, especially like if it's something that like your kids made, you know, that you're like, this is truly a one of a kind. So if this thing gets broken or lost or misplaced, it's irreplaceable. Mm-hmm. And those things, I like those too. You know, when you look at your tree and you start looking at these ornaments and go, oh, remember? And this one, yeah, I remember. Oh, that was the Christmas that, you know, and the tree, the Christmas tree itself can even start telling a history story for you.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. How about foods? What was there, any favorite foods mom made, grandma made? Your mom was very good at making good
food.
Well, she made good foods badly.
Well, so we have kind of a fun Christmas Eve tradition. It started, I don't know, we got to be on close to 20 years where we were getting ready. It's the church where I was an associate pastor. We had a Christmas Eve service, and I was running around all day getting things ready for that. And so didn't really have dinner. And I just said, we'll do the Christmas Eve service and then we'll go out to eat. And we discovered the entire town shut down for Christmas Eve. There was no restaurants open. The only restaurant we could find open was a Chinese restaurant. And so we're kind of laughing. We're like, Chinese food on Christmas Eve. But then that just became our tradition. So now, you know, every year after we get done with our Christmas Eve, our candlelight Christmas Eve church service, sometimes we get the Chinese to go and we bring it back to our house. Sometimes we go to the restaurant, but that's kind of become the tradition. And it's not food that, you know, we would cook at home.
Right.
And it's not the traditional kind of Christmas food, but it is for us.
You made it a tradition.
Right.
Yeah. Almost out of default.
Right.
I do think, you know, we probably need to address as leaders, sometimes the holidays are stressful.
Oh, sure.
And I think we need to lead gently through it. But I think we need to guard the traditions that really mean something. We can even call them sacred cows. Like, no, you do the 23rd of December as a brunch with all staff. Don't change it. It's been going on for 40 years.
Sure.
Won't touch it. Get it.
Right. No.
And I think that's a comfort to people, particularly if they don't have traditions, which is happening more than not.
Right. Yeah. Well, hey, leaders, listen, one of the things I would say that would really help your folks, schedule less in the month of December. Because there are so many things going on. Right. You know, if you're a parent with young kids, there's going to be parties for them and concerts. If you're involved with your church, they're probably going to have some kind of a Christmas production or, you know, a Christmas Eve thing or whatever. There's just so many things going on. And that can increase the stress level of your teammates. So if there's some other things that you can say, hey, listen, part of our Christmas tradition is we're not having our regular staff meeting, let's free up that hour and a half. Let's do, you know,
that's a good idea.
I think that's a good Christmas gift to give them because they've got a lot of other things that are going on.
We've experienced different, you know, organizations I was partners with and owner of. And through my years, certain days fall this would be a good day to send them home at 2:00. We'll do a skeleton crew. They can get to the mall.
Yep.
You know, before the Christmas Eve or the 23rd or whatever, you just give them just a perk. It wasn't tradition. We didn't do it every year and we didn't do it for the same people. We rotate it because you got to man the phones and, you know, take care of the office. But they just knew every so often they would be like, you can go.
Yep.
Now? Like,
I'm out of here. Right.
So they kind of knew. And then we decided to do more planning. So they knew they could bring their list or they could bring their U-Haul in case they went to the mall.
Really helping the economy.
Instead of the little sports car. So you're not going to get much in that one. Yep. That's why I got my triple truck here. You know, you got three axles and that's big. I think for us as leaders, being sensitive to it, maybe having them on the committee. Yeah. You know, as you kind of come up with new ideas, that might be their best portion of Christmas.
Yeah.
maybe kids aren't around or spouse is gone or someone's missing from the table or, you know, it's not always easy. Yep. And to have some traditions is helpful to bring some human touch to it. It can be very easy to go to the mall and you're standing in line and you're not feeling very human.
Right.
Like I'm just a number here, you know? So I think that's challenging.
You know, we talked about in one of a previous episode a while ago, we talked about leaders using playtime as a way to kind of relieve stress and build some camaraderie. But I think, you know, and I think that you can feel that out as the year goes on, but I would say especially to leaders kind of from Thanksgiving through New Year to really be sensitive of the traditions that are meaningful for everybody, but then also be really sensitive to, you know, maybe this is the first year that mom's not there because she passed away during the year. And it's so, hey, Christmas is going to be hard.
It's tough. Yeah, exactly.
This is the first time, you know, first Christmas we've had without mom. Yeah. So, you know, be aware that one of your teammates might seem a little withdrawn. And so, you know, you don't want to go over and like, you know, plop a Christmas hat on their head and say, come on, ho, 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 get in the spirit when they might not be there. So you gotta be sensitive to some of the flexibility there as well.
It's the first thing you need to do though as a leader to be flexible.
Well, I think, I don't know how many times, maybe we have Harrison look this up for us, but how many times that we've said about leaders gotta get out of your office and you gotta walk around. So how else would you know that it's Sally's first Christmas without her mom?
Correct.
Unless you have been involved with Sally all along. And so, you know, then you can just be aware of, you know, something might be going on with her right now. And so I think that's the thing. The celebration and the kind of last 6 weeks of the year can be so much more meaningful if in the previous year, previous months of the year that you've been involved in people's lives and you know, hey, they like this. And here's the one part where we all get together, but I'm going to give them some flexibility here and here's some creative time over here. And let me try to cancel some other things just so they can spend time with their family and, you know.
They'll be more productive.
Absolutely.
And they might play nicer in the sandbox.
Yes.
You know, I think that's the outcome of leadership decisions is to understand where they're all coming from. You can't take everyone's situation in consideration when you're planning something, but certainly you can be sensitive to it.
Yep.
I think the other part for time with people, some do go home to a quiet house. And so I think one of the things is if you have plans, great. But if this is also your family, here are the things we've got set up and you can plug in. I think giving people options would be really good. One of the things that brought a lot of stress, I'll just share this one, so don't do this. We decided to do a gift exchange. So the last company I was a partner in, we have 150 employees. That's a lot of, I don't know Mary. And so we would draw a name. You're like, I don't know what Phil wants. I mean, I don't even know if he fishes, you know. That put a lot of stress on. And we did that 2 years and it was a lot of feedback of it. It's just uncomfortable, you know.
Sure.
And then we decided to do White Elephant in that game. And I don't even know what that game is, but that's a hoot.
Yeah, they does get fun.
Yeah, so you're like, okay, I'm going to bring this White Elephant. So you could have this box, or you could go around and you could pick another White Elephant from someone else, and they have to take your you know, gift that you don't want. I'm not sure what the name of it is. It was a stitch. The archives of videos are hilarious. Like, no, I wanted that. And, you know, someone comes over and takes it and then they give you a pair of woven hose. You're like, I don't want socks. What the heck, you know? That was a fun one because it maybe brought a little humor.
Yep.
And
absolutely.
You know, like the White Elephant gifts, you're like, Grandpa gave me 3 cans of WD-40. I don't have that many squeaky things yet. You know, I'm not that old, so I think I'll give a can away.
Right. It's brand new.
It's brand new, exactly. Oh, my goodness. And so you bring that, and the person's like, really?
What are you going to do with 42 shower hats?
No kidding.
Oh, Christmas presents.
Don't ruin it for everybody. Don't put me by the window on the plane. So sorry about that. We just went off on a Jeff Fox.
Jeff Fox, really.
I'm so sorry. But I think finding some things that people like, and then through the year, they're saving that one just masterfully ugly white elephant.
Because they got something at Christmas from Great Aunt Tilda, and they were like, thanks. Ooh, I know where I'm using this next year.
Isn't it interesting? It's like, oh, it's such, you're so thoughtful. I'm going to give that to Bill.
Yep. I know where this is going.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. So, yeah, I think, you know, just engaging people in some fun things and letting them maybe run it a little bit. Like, so let's, we're doing that gift exchange, white elephants. You guys figure out the theme. And they're like, really? Yeah, here's your budget. Instead of having to do it yourself as a leader, you know, it feels good to let them kind of run it. And some of them are like, that was the funnest party to plan, you know. Well, yeah, because it wasn't your money. It was fun. Yeah. But the white elephants is not a bad idea. We used to do a brunch, not a brunch, I guess I would call it a buffet, where everyone brought something. And then they had to tell what it was. So oftentimes it was a special recipe from someone,
which
meant something,
you know.
And others, you're like, you got seven cats, don't you? I'm not eating your food. I know they're on the counter.
Yeah.
But I'm having fun with it too, you know, versus being uber careful, you know, including people and making sure everyone's got a seat around the table is the goal, right? As leaders, like you said, if someone's kind of sitting back, maybe just sit with them and you don't have to sit by your best friends. You can sit with them because they're struggling.
Right.
You know, so I think you've got, I think you wrote down a couple good quotes. So we'll do one here. It's a perfect time to reflect on our blessings and seek out ways to make life better for those around us. Yeah. That's a good way to describe a holiday as a leader.
Yep.
You know, it's not about getting, although, you know, merchandising wants that. I think it's important just for a chance to just be a blessing.
Yes.
Did you have any stories, you know, like growing up or maybe as you raised your kids or through church or other orgs where you adopted any orgs or did anything outside of?
Yeah, we've done that a few times and that is really cool to be able to step in with a family or an individual that you know is not going to have a really happy, Merry Christmas. They almost feel forgotten. And then when you can come in and say, hey, we heard that this is what you wanted and this is what we were able to give. That is just, I have more fun doing that, you know, giving stuff away than I do getting the things.
You know what? This is going to sound bad, but, you know, if you see a pair of shoes, you're like, oh, I need a pair of black leather shoes for, you know, work. Or I'll just get them.
Right.
Well, that's good, but then what do your kids do?
Right.
Well, Dad's got, maybe I'll just get matching socks. You know, that's not that fun. I think the fun part, I'll share one thing that we put together, and we're still doing it today, even though I'm retired from them. We adopted a nonprofit that worked with folks who either were disadvantaged or, you know, impoverished or struggling. And it wasn't us folks coming in to save the day.
Right.
We had them. Yep. We don't know the people. You have to go find them. You do the criteria. You do the sizes and the ages. We don't know. So we would sponsor through this nonprofit in the city. We did anywhere from 12 to 16 families. We would do an entire meal in one tote. And then we would do all their gifts in maybe another two totes, depending on the size and how many kids, et cetera. And it started off with people loved the shopping for the ideas and they would put them in the totes in the office.
Sure.
And then they got a little bit excited, like, I'd like to go. So we kind of made a tour where people could come in, they would set it up, and then the families would come in to get their items. We didn't make it, you know, we made it sure it was dignified and didn't want to take pictures of them and make them feel awkward, but the staff really wanted to be there, not just shop. And as time went on, they would, well, I'm going to get my big vehicle and then I can deliver some of those totes too.
That's nice.
You go for it, Mary. I like that. So you invited them in on a journey, you know, and then they got to see someone who wasn't as well off or really in need. And we don't know a lot of the story,
right?
But you're like, well, we have to trust the nonprofit. They see him every week. And our staff just loved it.
Yep. Well, leaders, I think, you know, make sure that you leverage what Christmas means and the things that are there already in place in your organizations, those traditions, protect those. And if you can, free up time other places so that people don't get stressed out by trying to keep up with the traditions. That could be a great gift as well. But as Greg and I said, don't just limit it to just that kind of 1 month, but all year long. You can maybe even make this your New Year's resolution as you go into the new year. Just, I'm going to pay really close attention. Maybe keep a file on your computer and say, you know, when I learned that they really like this, or they had something that kind of was tough that went on during the year, I'm going to make a note of that, because when it comes around to Christmas time next year, I want to be sure that I can address that. This is a great way for you to be among your people, really kind of humanize your leadership, and at the same time, draw your team together. We'd love to be a resource for you. If there's maybe you want to pick our brain a little bit on some things, go to maximizeleadership.com. Click on the page about coaching. You can find out some more about how we can come alongside to help you all throughout the year. Down below in this video, you can leave us a comment or a question there. On Twitter at Maximize Podcast, you can shoot us a question or maybe a episode suggestion there. We want to be a resource to you as well. But we're believing for great things for you for this upcoming year. We wish you a very Merry Christmas, and we're going to have lots of great content for you in the upcoming year. So make sure that you stay tuned.
Get in touch with Craig and Greg through Twitter at Maximize Podcast or at MaximizeLeadership.com. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any episodes of The Craig and Greg Show.